Now let's open God's word, and it is in Exodus 17:11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed.
Last Sabbath in March, or February, isn't it? My month's confused. Last Sabbath in February, it goes by so quickly. You think, where do the weeks go? Next Sabbath, I'm going to start preaching in the book of Proverbs. But I was glad I had this one opportunity this Sabbath to give a message that's been on my heart to give. It's not that I've been in this passage before, but I wanted to say something about one particular subject. And so I've taken up this story this morning. John read for us from Exodus 17, but I want to read the whole story so that we can get the complete picture here as we dig into this passage today to see what God has to teach us in this story. Turn with me, Exodus 17. Exodus 17, beginning with verse 8, Israel has crossed the Red Sea. They've already had a bout of complaining. God gave them water from the rock, and now they are facing enemies who have attacked them. Exodus 17:8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us, and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here it is again, one of these Old Testament stories. What do we make of it? Again, we feel so removed from this kind of experience. So what's this story about, and what can we possibly learn from it? You know, if we had the time, or perhaps there were just several of us sitting around a Sabbath meal, we could mull over it and discuss it and talk back and forth and work our way into the story, trying to understand what is in this for us. We don't have that privilege right now, and so I'm simply going to tell you what I think it's about, and then we will look more closely at the story, and you can decide in the end if you agree with my assessment. So what is it about? What is this story all about? This story of a battle and Moses on the hilltop and his hands raised, and they only are winning when his hands are raised. When he lets them down, they begin to lose, and then his brothers hold up his hands. What's this story all about? I think that it's all about the great necessity of prayer. Now, I'm saying that because of what is said in verse 11, the verse that John read for us. Let's read it again. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. Well, you say to me, well, wait a minute, I don't see anything about prayer in that. He's just holding up his hands or putting them down. There's no mention of prayer. Well, let's take a closer look. What did Moses have in his hands? You look up in verse 9, we find the answer to that question. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. The staff of God. So then, immediately, I don't know about you, but the question comes to my mind, what is this staff all about? This shepherd's rod that is called here the rod of God or the staff of God. What is this all about? Well, we may have heard about this staff before. It could turn into a serpent and then back into a staff. It ate other serpents up. It had turned water to blood. It had turned dust into fleas. It had parted oceans and brought water from the rock. And now it is about to be used to prevail in battle. You see, this staff that God had told Moses would be used to perform signs. That's what this staff was. Look with me back in Exodus 4:17. It tells us there, the very beginning of this Exodus story. God says, you shall take in your hands, Exodus 4:17, you shall take in your hands this staff with which you shall perform the signs. The signs, and what are the signs? What are the signs? We've moved from hands to the staff to signs. What are the signs? They are occurrences. You look back through, review the story again. They are occurrences which dramatically point to the presence and the interposition of God. The presence and the interposition of God. What do we mean? Pastor Wilcox, you use this big word, interposition. What do we mean by interposition? You've got a problem, some crisis, some difficulty. Maybe you have an enemy. Maybe you have a lack. The interposition is God coming in between you and that which is too difficult for you. He comes in there between. He brings his presence there. He brings what only he can do into that place between you and your problem. And this staff was to be used to bring about the signs, those occurrences where God showed up and made the vital difference. Do you see now why we are talking about prayer? Do you see now why I made the assertion that what this story is all about is about the necessity of prayer? For Moses, you see, for Moses to lift up the staff was for him to make an appeal for the divine presence. When Moses lifted up the staff, he was appealing to God to intervene. Lifting up the staff was an act of prayer. Now, just imagine for a moment. Imagine you were one of the footmen down in the battle line. Down there, I don't know what you had, a sword or a sling, or they weren't highly trained. Maybe some of them were even just throwing rocks. But imagine you were down in that line and you begin noticing, even in the melee of battle and the confusion and the dust, and you begin noticing that when Moses had his hands lifted up and that rod was stretched out, you begin noticing that when that took place, you were winning the battle, pushing the Amalekites back step by step. But then you noticed also that when they began pushing you back, that there was a correlation, that Moses' hands had become heavy, read tired, and he couldn't hold them up anymore, and they'd come down, and you noticed as a soldier in the line that when his hands came down, the Amalekites begin to push you back. If you were there on the line and you saw that, wouldn't you begin to cry out to Moses to keep his hands up? Moses, don't let them go down. We need your hands up, Moses. Don't let them go down. You'd cry out to him in your desperation there in the battle line. If you were down in the battle line, wouldn't this be what you would do? Oh, but then you are in the battle line. We are in the battle line. Look with me over in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians. Look at what it says there. You know this passage, but let's read it again together. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. My friends, are we not in the battle line? Reading down a bit lower, verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins. And Paul goes on to describe the equipment of a soldier in the battle line. Oh, but then coming down to the end of that description, he says this, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, says Paul. Oh, do you see, when you're in the battle line, the greatest need of your heart is the need that somebody should pray. Down in the battle line, oh Moses, keep your hands up. Don't we see here in the letter to the Ephesians the same emphasis on prayer that we see in this story of ancient Israel battling the Amalekites? this same need for the presence and the intervention of God. Well, let's look at one other example over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. The disciples had gone to the upper room like Jesus had encouraged them to do. At his ascension, they had prayed for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come down. Pentecost, the power of God in their witness, and thousands in a day came to the Lord, repented, opened their hearts to the God of heaven and earth. There was power, there was movement. God accomplishing his work in the life of his people. Oh, but then there was also opposition, wasn't there? Peter and John were arrested after a beggar had been healed at their petition to the Lord. We picked the story up in Acts 4, verse 16. The leaders of the Jews in council, they begin to confer with one another. And in verse 16 it says, they said to each other, "What shall we do with these men?" This is the opposition speaking, the enemies of the Lord speaking. "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further." Do you see the intent of their heart? Let's stop the shutdown what heaven is doing here. We don't like it. The opposition coming against, so that this will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Look down a little bit lower. They let Peter and John go with that warning. They went back to the rest of the fellow believers. And verse 23, it says, "When they had been released and went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them, and when they heard this," listen to the response. These are people who know that they're in the battle line. Listen to their response. "When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, 'O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord," do you hear in this? They're lifting up the staff. They're making petition for the presence and the interposition, the intervention of God in the situation in which they find themselves. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Do you see them there? They're lifting up the rod, the necessity of prayer. When you're in the battle line, and you know that you're in the battle line, you cannot go a day without prayer. Your heart realizes the situation you're in, and you cannot go a day without going to your knees and pleading with Him for victory. We are in the battle line. They understood this, and they lifted up the rod, and God moved on their behalf. But then what of ourselves? Back to ourselves. Are we not in the battle line as well? And if we are in the battle line, are we lifting up our hands? What about your prayer life? Are you praying? Have you learned to lift up your hands? Maybe you've even seen the film, The War Room. How many have seen the film, The War Room? A powerful film. Oh, but then, have you made yourself a war room? Have you found a place that has become your place of prayer? You know, it's so easy to be stirred up by a film that presents the necessity of prayer, or by a sermon like this that presents the necessity of prayer, and to be stirred and to think, yes, that's what I need. But do we move on to do what we need to do? I'm ashamed to say it took me more than a year after I saw The War Room. It's not that I didn't pray, but it took me more than a year to engage more deeply and say, Lord, I'm going to set aside a place where I can keep record of what you've put on my heart to pray for, where I can lift it up to you until I see your hand move. We're stirred, but have we made the request to the Lord? Have we seen how the Lord prayed and come to Him and said, Lord, teach me how to pray? Have you asked Him to teach you to pray? Oh, my friends, we are in the battle line. Would somebody please lift up their hands? Over half the members of this church family are never seen in our midst. Would somebody please lift up their hands? These are precious souls who need the Word of God in their lives, but they're not here. The church today is losing its young people. A huge percentage of Adventist young people, once they've hit college, never darken the doors of a church again. Would somebody please lift up their hands? The culture surrounding us becomes more and more antagonistic to faith. Oh, would we please lift up our hands? Prayer, petition to God. We need to speak truth with boldness and love. If we're going to do that, we have to lift up our hands. Someone in our midst has stumbled. Their faith is being tested. Do any of the rest of us know that? Are we aware of that? And are we lifting up our hands on their behalf, pleading with God in prayer? Or someone says, my marriage is about ready to fall apart. Would somebody please lift up their hands? Or my son is drifting away from the Lord. Would somebody please lift up their hands? We could go on situation after situation, need after need. But do you see how vital the role of prayer? Back down to that battle line, the Amalekites pressing hard against the sons of Israel. Fascinating to me that God didn't just say, well, you boys sit back on the hill, I'll take care of this. No, they had to engage. They had to act. They acted with all their strength and all their might and main. But could their action have accomplished anything if Moses hadn't been on the hill lifting up holy hands in prayer, lifting up the sign, the staff of God? Would their action have availed? No, because as soon as Moses' hands tired and the staff came down, their action meant nothing. It didn't have the power. And you know, the essential power to meet life's challenges, the essential power we need to walk in God's pathway, that power is never in us. It's not in us. We are mere creatures. And one day's prayer is insufficient for the day that follows. How many of you get up in the morning and say, I don't need to eat breakfast this morning, I ate yesterday? Oh, but how often we say, well, I prayed yesterday, I'm busy, today's especially busy, I'll just move on. Oh, how essential. Do we see the vital role of prayer? There's a place for engagement, for activity, to be on the line. But I don't know about you, I never want to be on the battle line without the rod of God being held high, without the petition for God's presence and intervention. You know, out in the lobby before church started today, I got to know Ray and Claudia and Rosalie a little bit better. Found out what they do for work. And do you know they work with people with severe drug and alcohol problems? Are we lifting them up in prayer? They're on the battle line. They need our prayers. I think of some of the rest of you. I know Steve and Carol are out with patients every day, many of whom who have no idea of who the Lord is for them. Are we lifting Steve and Carol up in prayer? If we could tell stories here this morning, many of you are battling, fighting a life and death battle, a hand-to-hand battle with the evil one who wants to push something into your life that doesn't belong there. Or if he's had it there, he wants to keep it there. Are we lifting up hands for each other on behalf of each other? That those who are fighting tremendous battles with temptation would find the courage and the strength in God to overcome? Are our hands lifted up as a people? We cannot be the people of God. We cannot stand in the battle line without hands being held up in appealing to God for his help and his intervention in our lives. And if the hands go down, what happens? We're pushed back. We cannot stand. We begin to falter and begin to fail. The hands of prayer are up. God is able to prevail on our behalf with tremendous power and might and lift us as a people to a height and a plane that we have not yet attained. Here is what I want to do. If you look in your bulletin, there on the back page, there's a section that says Porterville Seventh-day Adventist Church. It gives the address, and then it gives the office hours and the mail address and the phone, etc., etc. And you come down a little bit, and right below web page, it says pastor. Here's what I'd like you to do if your heart has been moved to do this. You'll see my phone number there. If you'd like to join me in asking the Lord to teach us how to pray. Oh, I know we pray. Most of us pray every day. But if you'd like to join me in asking the Lord to teach us how to pray with the kind of prayer that when I grow weak or falter in my prayer, my brothers are beside me to hold up my hands so that they are steady. Do you notice in the story, Moses' hands were held steady by his brothers, Aaron and Hur. I don't mean literal blood brothers. These are his brothers in Christ, and they're next to him. And when his hands in prayer begin to falter, when he's weak, they're there beside him to hold up his hands. And look at what it says. I'm clear back in the New Testament. Look at what it says about his hands as they stood beside them and held them up. They took a stone, put it under him, he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. Oh, people of God, it's time to lift our hands. I refer back to the Ephesians passage. What does Paul say? Pray in the Spirit sometimes. Pray in the Spirit when you feel like it. Is that what he says? No, pray in the Spirit at all times. It's time for us to take a hold of the Lord and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. We, I believe, are moving rapidly into the final crisis of human history. And there's a great need that the world around us should know and be warned, and that we should have power with men. That as we give witness, the Holy Spirit can move with our witness in power so that the people around us can be saved. We are in that juncture in history, and it's time for us to say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to keep our hands up until the sun sets and the victory is completely won. If you would like to join together with me in learning how to pray in this way, I want you to use your phone, those of you who have phones, and text to me. Make sure you identify yourself, because I don't have all your phone numbers with your names in my phone yet. But identify yourself if you'd like to commit to learn to pray in this way. Send me a text, and then I'll be in touch with you, and we'll figure out a way to get together and to grow in our capacity for prevailing, triumphant prayer. So if that's what's in your heart as a response to this sermon, send me that text. The phone number's there. And we'll see what God wants to do to move us forward in the path that He has for us. If you don't have a phone, write me a note or call the church office, whatever you need to do. But if your heart has been moved and you say, Lord, I want to learn to pray and keep my hands up in this way, you let me know. And then as your pastor, we will work together to gain this kind of capacity in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, life is so busy with so many things. And there are things that we must do every day. We have our work, our jobs, our families to care for. But oh, I pray, Lord, that we would never make the mistake of thinking that we have no time to seek you earnestly in prayer. Not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters in the church. Not just for our brothers and sisters in the church, but our brothers and sisters outside of the church. Oh Lord, help us to never think that we have no time, but teach us, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us how to take hold of heaven's promises and to present them until the hand of God has moved on our behalf. Oh Lord, this is our prayer in your name. Amen.